This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
1320 WILS. Later in the half hour, we'll be joined by Bob Trezise, CEO of the Lansing Economic Area Partnership. We'll find out about some plans to move local projects ahead. But first, one of the biggest cases being talked about right now in the Lansing area is that of Larry Nassar, former MSU sports medicine doctor, now facing dozens of criminal complaints and civil lawsuits, alleging that he sexually abused many, many women. Brian McKean, a Detroit medical malpractice attorney, represents one of these women. He joins us now here on WILS. Brian, thank you for joining us.
Oh, happy to talk to you.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good, good. Now, he's an osteopathic doctor, and apparently he was using some kind of an osteopathic manipulative treatment is what the claim is. Can you explain what that is?
Well, yeah, let me correct you on one thing right off the bat. This is not a recognized or acceptable osteopathic treatment. This is sexual abuse, pure and simple. It was sexual abuse that was performed, was perpetrated on these young ladies for Dr. Nassar's own sexual perversities. This is not a recognized form of treatment. He was successful in persuading people and these young, vulnerable girls who didn't know any better that it was a recognized treatment, but it wasn't.
Okay, so an osteopathic doctor, I mean, how is that different than an MD then?
Well, they go through different schools. Generally speaking, allopathic schools where MDs go have a little higher academic standards. And the training is very similar. In osteopathic school, they do have some teaching about certain manipulations and massage therapies and things of that nature, mm-hmm. but none of them entail sexually molesting young girls. That's not a recognized osteopathic manipulation.
No.
It's a sexual assault.
How many of the victims, or even in the victim that you're representing, was it almost immediately clear that something was wrong that was happening?
Well, I don't think it was clear to these young ladies at all what was happening. I think that this doctor was in a position of authority. These were young girls who referred to Dr. Nassar, and Dr. Nassar held himself out to be, you know, this leading figure in the world of gymnastics. He was highly respected. Mm-hmm. He had worked with the Corollis and USA Gymnastics, worked with Olympic caliber athletes. And these women were young ladies were sent to him, mm-hmm. and just told to trust him, and they did trust
so
him.
So the woman you're representing, how did she feel after she was treated by him? Did she have any feelings of, wow, that didn't feel like an appropriate treatment?
Well, no, because they don't know. They've never been sexually touched. They're young adolescent girls. And, you know, in my client in particular, she has medical care providers in her family. She's taught to respect physicians, taught to respect her elders, taught to respect people in positions of authority.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know at the time was inappropriate. I'm sure it was disturbing to them. I'm sure it was uncomfortable to them.
No, uh-huh.
And I'm sure that this led to many problems in these young ladies' lives.
Now, your client, Brian, when did she then first realize that there was a problem here herself in her own case?
Well, you know, the end of past year when there was this revelation of all these lawsuits against Dr. Nassar, mm-hmm. and his, you know, sexual proclivities and the various criminal charges that have been filed against him, I think all of a sudden these young ladies awaken and say, oh, my God, what was really happening to me was not therapy. This was sexual assault.
Okay. Now, at what point do you believe somebody at MSU or any of the organizations he was working with became aware that there was something wrong that was happening?
Well, that will be determined further in discovery, but there's reason to believe that MSU employees knew for years and years, going back to perhaps 2009.
Which employees would that be then?
Well, I'm not prepared to specifically address that in this forum. We can address that through the court system. But you probably read some court files, and individuals have been named. And mm-hmm. those individuals are going to be subject to deposition, and we'll find out precisely what they knew and when they knew it.
Why do you think they didn't speak up at the time then?
Well, why didn't people speak up at Penn State? You know, sometimes it's easier just to not rock the boat. I think some people perhaps didn't believe these young ladies. Some people perhaps didn't just want to rock the boat. Some people perhaps were afraid of retribution and retaliation. there's any one of a number of possibilities why they didn't speak up. But the point is that they were required to speak up. They have a responsibility to the public and to the university, as a matter of fact, to speak up and bring this to the attention of university officials. And I believe that they did. And I think that they're concerns were swept under the rug, and that's the essence of this case. Michigan State University turned a blind eye to years of sexual abuse by this pervert, Dr. Nasser.
Talking to medical malpractice attorney Brian McKean, with so many women filing complaints now, what kind of a case, I mean, how is this going to proceed? Do you think there's any real defense that can be mounted here?
No, I don't. There's certainly no defense to Dr. Nasser's sexual misconduct. I don't think there's going to be any defense to Michigan State University's, you know, he's acting within the scope of his employment, and the university knew, or certainly should have known, of what was going on.
And what kind
he's not allowed to turn a blind eye to what's going on in the four walls of their facility.
I mean, what kind of civil lawsuits could the university be facing then?
Well, they're facing a number of lawsuits for monetary damages. And I think their financial exposure is going to be considerable.
We're talking about the hundreds of millions, that kind of number?
Well, it's premature for me to talk in terms of that. But what's important to focus on at the moment is the, you know, emotional distress that's been inflicted upon these young women. Mm-hmm. And many of them have, you know, struggled for years, not quite realizing they've been victims of sexual abuse, but yet somehow having this sense of anxiety and discomfort. A lot of them had issues with intimacy, issues with trust, anxiety, depression. And there's a lot of emotional distress that this monster inflicted upon these young women.
The effect on your client's life, how would you describe that?
Well, she's doing the best she can to move on, but she's had difficulty in all those realms. She's had difficulty with intimacy, difficulty with trust, difficulty with, you know, those types of situations. And I, she's had anxiety, depression. She's a wonderful young lady. She's doing the best she can, pick up the pieces of her life. But she's been scarred and will be scarred for the rest of her life.
And we've got, what, dozens of women now that have come out. Do you think the number is actually much, much larger in terms of the women he actually, he allegedly abused?
Well, I sure think so. I mean, time will tell. Oftentimes, you know, the people who come forward in any type of situation like this are usually the tip of the iceberg. But this was going on for a number of years. Dr. Nasser seemed to be, you know, a frequent flyer with respect to this type of sexually deviant behavior. And I have to believe that there were, in fact, dozens, if not hundreds of young ladies who were victimized by Dr. Nasser.
Now, you say that officials were aware of this. Was MSU, though, were they not concerned about the liability the university would have at some point? I mean, what do you imagine they were thinking in not addressing this with the financial implications to the university?
Well, who's to say? I mean, you know, we may never know. We'll certainly ask those hard questions. Why didn't people do something about it at Penn State? Yeah. I think oftentimes people are afraid of embarrassment. They're afraid of the damage to the reputation of the university. There may have been concerns about financial consequences as well, but what they need to be concerned about is not the repercussions to them as a university. They need to be concerned about the physical, the emotional, and psychological repercussions on Dr. Nasser's victim. Yeah.
How helpful will it be to all these women to see Dr. Nasser if he is, in fact, convicted? How therapeutic will that be for them?
Well, I think that will be very therapeutic. But part of the, you know, healing process entails that a person who's injured someone has to, you know, face liability both in the criminal courts and in the civil courts. And there needs to be compensation to the victims in the civil justice system. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because the civil, that's the MSU is going to be covering that end of things, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And in terms of what
I can tell you that these young ladies are all going to be, you know, very much relieved that he will not be in a position to do this to other young ladies as well. I mean, he'll be spending time behind bars.
Yeah. In terms of the amount of time behind bars for this kind of abuse, what would that end up being likely, you think?
You know, I'll leave that to the criminal courts to decide. I would like to think he could spend the rest of his life in jail, but time will tell. This is a very serious series of offenses, and I hope that he'll feel the fullest extent of the punishment of the criminal system.
Yeah. In your time as an attorney, a malpractice attorney, have you ever seen anything like this?
Well, I've seen other cases of sexual abuse. I'd like to say I hadn't, but it does happen. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I've seen it occur on such a whole-scale basis. Mm-hmm. I've represented other victims of serial committers of malpractice, like Dr. Fada, who was diagnosing people with cancer who didn't have it. Represented many people in that litigation. I represent hundreds of kids in litigation that's ongoing in Detroit now against Dr. Awad, who was diagnosing children with epilepsy who didn't have epilepsy. So yeah. There are situations like this that occur sometimes where malpractice is committed against a whole host of you know, an entire segment of a population. But as far as this degree of sexual misconduct, no, I've not seen that.
Brian McKean, Detroit medical malpractice attorney, representing one of the many women now suing and having filed criminal complaints against former MSU sports medicine doctor Larry Nassar. Brian, thank you for joining us on WILS.
My pleasure. Take care.